Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
I wonder what Raja Krishnamurthy thinks about that. He's a member of the United States Congress from the Chicagoland area. Congressman, you're on the air. Good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning, John.
The justice system is what it is, and whatever the jury would return would be a verdict that we should all accept. But I don't know that I accept that. I think that Derek Chauvin was guilty on all counts. I think that was the correct verdict. What's your take on the Floyd Chauvin story this morning?
I agree with you. I think that justice was served, but at the end of the day, you know, part of justice is making someone whole, and in this case, we lost George Floyd. And so at the most, we can say that Mr. Chauvin was held accountable. But I think, you know, as I was thinking about it last night and today, we got to move on. We got to reform the police system, because just today, again, as I was about to join you, I saw on TV that another police officer shot a woman who did not have a gun. She had a knife in her hand, and that's what he claims. And, I think that there's something very wrong. And that's why, you know, for instance, we passed the George Floyd Act, which has some really common sense measures, such as, ending those chokeholds and warrantless searches that have led to, you know, some of the most scandalous incidents of the past year. Having national training standards, which, by the way, a lot of police tell me makes a lot of sense. And then, you know, for instance, making sure that bad apple cops aren't able to move from one jurisdiction to another without the next jurisdiction knowing about their past record. These are just some common sense reforms. My concern, John, is this George Floyd murder is going to be repeated and repeated, and we're going to spend all of our time on this, where it's so divisive and we don't make progress.
That young woman that was shot, I believe, was 15 years old.
My goodness.
10-16. I'm going to pause here, Congressman. I also asked you to comment on what the status is of the infrastructure bill. What's in it? What's not in it? When are we going to get that money? Is it money we should be spending? Catch us up on that. Congressman Raja Krishnamurthy is on the line. And, Congressman, where are we on that infrastructure bill? What's happening now?
Well, basically, what's happening is there's something called a transportation reauthorization bill that's working its way through the committee process here. It involves Republicans and Democrats. It needs to be reauthorized by September 30th, and it actually accounts for a number of the elements of President Biden's plan. So I think what I'm understanding is that we're first going to work on this piece. A lot of it is a lot of the programs are non-controversial because we've reauthorized them over time, several times on a bipartisan basis, and hopefully we can use that as a template for kind of working together on other elements. But at least with regard to the roads and the highways and the bridges and other surface transportation needs, among others, we can get started through this process.
How much money are we talking about here?
It's at least $500 to $700 billion, something in that range. Now, there are different committees in Congress that have jurisdiction over different elements of the overall Biden infrastructure plan. And so they will also take up some of that work. But, for instance, the Transportation and Infrastructure Committee will do, a lot of this through their process.
Well, shoot, the number I heard was, aren't we talking about the one that's a couple trillion dollars, Congressman?
Yeah, so these, right now, the process that I'm talking about is with regard to basically programs that already exist that are part of the Biden infrastructure program, but don't account for the entirety of the program. So just as an example, the Biden infrastructure program talks about, broadband for everybody, upgrading internet speeds for everybody. That's not necessarily within the transportation and infrastructure process, because that's not a program that's been taken up in the past. So that would be a new program that would have to be introduced through a separate process. The bottom line is that I think different chunks of the Biden overall package are going to be taken up by different committees, and they're going to be done kind of over the course of the next several months.
John, please ask the congressman what percentage of the bill is actually infrastructure. Maybe you've just touched on that, but you know that's a criticism of this. I think they used the wrong word out of the gate, Raja. I think that calling it an infrastructure bill when it includes a lot of things that aren't bridges and roads upsets people. What percentage of it will just be concrete and steel?
Oh, gosh, a lot of it, John. You know, some people don't like to call broadband or upgrading the electric grid or, you know, replacing lead pipes as infrastructure. They want to call it something other than, you know, infrastructure because they're opposed to it. But actually, a lot of people believe that that is vital for us to be able to upgrade our ability to compete with China and to be safe. You know, in this pandemic, John, you know this. I'm sure that all your audience knows this. All of us had to telecommute at some point, e-learn, or our children did, as well as perhaps use telemedicine. And if you didn't have access to high-speed broadband, you were in big trouble. There are a lot of reports, even in my district, of children having to go to restaurant parking lots to be able to do their homework. That's ridiculous. Nobody should be in that position. And I think it should be addressed as part of this American Jobs Plan.
I'm going to read from NBC today. Republicans have criticized Biden's plans to offset the infrastructure spending. He's called for a hike to the corporate tax rate to 28%. The GOP cut it to 21% from 35 back in 17. I thought it was 22, but say we go from 21 or 22 to 28%. Do you support increasing corporate taxes to 28% to do this?
I think that's going to be negotiated. The one thing that I do support that's a big part of this, and it's part of what you're talking about, is imposing at least a global minimum tax on corporations. And the reason I say that is I'm a former small business person. I paid the full 35% then corporate income tax rate. A lot of my competitors did not. Even today, John, 60 large companies, Fortune 500 companies, paid zero in taxes because they were able to shift their profits overseas. That's just unacceptable. It's wrong and it's unfair.
I don't like that either, but I know a lot of small businesses that aren't that, or medium-sized businesses, and they don't like the idea of seeing their taxes increase, that rather than throw off more revenue, they may have to throw off more people.
I think that this is, as I said, going to be negotiated.
Is there a number you have in mind, Congressman? Is there a line in the sand for you on that?
I don't yet. I want to see what some of my colleagues on the other side have to say about this as well. But the one thing that I can say is, look, a lot of people who visited China or Western Europe or Japan or other countries know that their infrastructure is so modernized that their businesses have a leg up on ours. And so a lot of companies, a lot of business leaders that I talk to concede that they are willing to pay more in taxes as long as they can get an infrastructure so that they can compete on a level playing field with their foreign competitors.
Congressman Krishnamoorthy, one last question. $10,000 student debt relief, are you for that? If it came to the Congress, I know the education secretary is going to advise the president on whether or not he can just wave his wand, but if it came to the legislature, would you approve $10,000 in student loan forgiveness?
I think so, although I would like to see also what, if anything, is required as part of that debt relief. John, we have a whole generation of people, especially people who, you know, came out of college during the Great Recession and then were hit by the pandemic recession, Great Recession in 2009, 2010, who are just languishing under student debt. They're not able to form households. They're not able to start businesses or start families. They're dragging down the economy because of that albatross of debt. If we can give them an ability to get out from underneath some of that debt and participate more fully, it'll help all of us and our economy.
Nice to talk to you, Congressman. Haven't seen you in a while. Hopefully there will be a day when we're in the same room, but we always appreciate you on the phone as well. Thank you for your time.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you.